Magic exists to serve man and never to rule over him. Foul and corrupt are they who have taken his gift and turned it against his children. They shall be named Maleficar, accursed ones. They shall find no rest in this world or beyond. In the absence of light, shadows thrive. Threnodies 8:21.
As you approach the waypoint, you can see the light of a dying campfire ahead. But as you draw closer, you realize something is wrong. First, you notice a distinct lack of noises of camp. Then you see the wagon lying on its side. One of its wheels is sheared off. Then you see the bodies. Quick scan of the immediate area turns up the bodies of half a dozen horses, 3 Ferelden guardsmen, 2 Blightwolves, 2 Genlocks, and a Hurlock. They're scattered. Clearly a battle was fought here and not long ago. One of the Blightwolves came to rest in the campfire, its smoldering fur sending up an awful reek. There's no sign of Sir Blaker or either of the children among the dead.
Well, so we cannot see them, but would it be possible to search for signs of where they may have gone to?
Sure would. Can you please make a perception test for me? And if you have the searching focus, you can apply it.
Sure don't, but all right. That would be a 12.
You cast about desperately looking for signs of what has happened to the missing people. You notice, to your consternation, Fira, that sunset is rapidly approaching, bathing the grisly battle scene in ambers and violet shades. The shadows are lengthening. With a 12, you're not turning up any immediate signs of survivors here or evidence of what has happened. Folks can also try, if you want, a perception tracking test to see if you can make out where any survivors may have gone.
If we have perception but not tracking, could we still roll
just
for it?
You just don't get a bonus, but it would just be a straight perception test in that case.
Yeah, I'll roll for it.
Go for it.
Why not? 14 perception?
Okay, 14 is a success. Can you please tell me what the number on the dragon die is?
Dragon die is 5.
You turn up the running footprints of, I'll say, 6 bipeds moving northeast from the battle site. Looking at the prints, they're chaotic, they're overlapping. It's difficult to tell in what order they were made, but you do pick up the steps of at least one child among the group.
So Vari, you know, having learned to forage a little bit and to study like beast versus man, the differences, is there anything he sees about like the heaviness of a footprint, like that someone might be wearing armor to understand if the guard survived? Is there any indication that someone's injured?
How much information you gleaned was dependent there on your dragon die roll. So you did succeed on the test. Because of that dragon die roll, you do spot the tracks of at least one child among them, but you're not able to glean much other information about the group beyond that.
While they're looking around, Xavier's going to check the bodies to make sure all the bad guys are actually dead and if there's anything of value or note there.
Absolutely. Can you make a perception searching test? You can apply searching if you have it.
7.
The armor on both sides has largely been hacked apart and is useless, but there's a serviceable longsword and several crossbow bolts are salvageable, but you don't notice anything else of value with that roll.
Okay, he'll grab the crossbow bolts because he's been going through his, so he'll just grab a couple of those.
As you stoop to collect them, you cast aside a few broken ones. You spot 4 or 5 that have certainly never been fired and will slip easily into your pack. You feel a chill and shudder through your body, Xavier.
Ah, is it from the wound area?
It just runs through your whole body. You know, maybe like you're becoming feverish.
Oh, he looks around to see if anybody notices, and he hides it from them.
It's at that moment that you hear a chilling scream pierce the night air. It is from the direction in which the tracks have left the clearing. Alenka, without a word, sets off in a dead run in the direction of the scream.
I will do the same. I'll wield both the battle axe and the mace and start jogging that direction.
Xavier and Vari, you see Fira and Alenka take off following the direction of the scream. They are moving away from you and uphill.
Nailed. Xavier will pull out his short sword and his throwing knife, trying to change his tactics a little bit, and he will curse again and follow them up the hill.
I think Vari is going to take as deep of a breath as he can and is going to try and see if he can cast rock armor while he is chasing after them so that he can stay close, but is maybe a little bit better prepared this time for the fight to go. I should cast that again.
You also hear the sound of Alenka, who is of a like mind, chanting the same incantation as she makes her way up the hill. So both you and I'm going to make one for her, but the two of you should both make magic tests.
That is a 10. No doubles.
Okay, so both of you do get your rock armor up. Each of you, your armor increases by 4. Rushing in the direction of the scream, you emerge from a thicket of trees. You're halfway up a steep hillside. Ahead, you see an outcropping of rock just a bit higher than you are on the hillside at the top of a switchback trail. There is a leather-armored Ferelden on the outcropping in cover, a crossbow in his hands. On the trail below him are the bodies of more fallen guardsmen, more Genlocks, and more Blightwolves. At the bottom of the trail, you see a knot of darkspawn in cover, but as you watch, they emerge as one and charge howling up the trail. One falls, a crossbow bolt in his eye, but the others surge on. And without further ado, we are going to roll for initiative.
Joke's on them. I can't run for shit.
Vera, what'd you get?
Got a 6.
Bari, what'd you get?
10.
And Xavier?
13.
The armored Ferelden, who has obviously picked up a defensible spot at the top of that ridge, you can see that there is only an ancient, weather-worn stone staircase leading up to his position, which is narrow enough that to reach the point he's picked out, creatures would have to ascend in a single file. So he's obviously anticipated trying to cause a bottleneck if anything tries to approach him and his charges that he's defending. You see him use his major action to reload his crossbow, bring it to his shoulder, and aim. So he's obviously holding a shot. Xavier, it is your turn.
Xavier is going to keep cursing under his breath. Gonna head right for the stairs as fast as he can. He'll glance back to make sure everyone else is following him, and then he will continue. I can use my major action to move, right? Essentially dash.
Yeah, you can do 2 minor actions instead of a major action if you want. So effectively, you can get your movement again.
Okay, and that's what he's going to do.
Xavier sets off at a dash towards the stone steps. You're kind of moving, you know, on an intersecting route between the darkspawn and the people at the top of the rise.
Correct, and that's sort of his plan.
The children are cowering behind the 2 remaining Ferelden guardians that you can see up there on the rise. Neither of them are going to take any action for now. It is Vari's turn.
I'm going to get about as far as well into the field.
So you cut a little bit south of Xavier, making a little bit more of a beeline toward the darkspawn. The foremost of the darkspawn is a Hurlock. You've seen bodies before, but you've never seen one of these on its feet. You notice that some dark ichor is spilling from a gaping wound in its shoulder. It apparently did take some damage during the battle at the wagon, but it doesn't appear to have slowed it very much. This is a human-sized darkspawn, as tall as Xavier and Vari, and it seems to be the leader of this new pack, with an inhuman screech that sends chills up and down your spines. It charges towards the cowering survivors on the hillside. It, like you, is going to use its major and minor actions to move. Its boots crunch over the bodies lining the trail as it makes its way towards its quarry. Apparently seeing this, one of the Ferelden guards moves to the top of the stone staircase, probably planning to interpose herself between anything that makes its way up those stairs and the children that she is defending. It is Alenka's turn. Alenka is going to keep pace with Xavier. And finally, Fira's turn.
Fira will run out past Alenka and Xavier and stand right in front of those two.
And the 3 Genlocks, corrupted dwarven darkspawn who are following the Hurlock, charge after their leader. They are a little slower than the larger Hurlock, so they cannot quite catch up to him. And we're back to the top of the order. The lead defending Ferelden at the top still doesn't have a shot. He can see the darkspawn heading towards him, but he is going to hold off for a better target. It's Xavier's turn again.
Xavier is going to cut a little more north and uses both his minor actions to move. He's trying to cut them off between the staircase and try to get in between them so they can't head up the staircase.
Bari's turn.
I'm going to hold an aim into next turn that if anybody comes within range of my 30 yards at my start of turn.
Which would then apply a +1 on your next turn. Whenever you next make an attack, you would get that +1.
That's my turn.
With inhuman speed and endurance, the Herlock is moving again. Now just about drawn level with Vari as he's headed up the trail towards his foes. And it's Alenka's turn. She is going to follow Xavier. Fira, your turn again.
Fira is also going to follow Xavier and Alenka in an attempt to stop this group of darkspawn before they get to the stairs. Fira is able to run just ahead of the two of them.
Got it. And at the same time, the Genlocks are charging up after their leader. It will be a photo finish, I think, who gets to the bottom of the stairs first. Sir Blaker has a shot now. He's going to fire his crossbow at the Herlock. 15, no doubles. The shot strikes home. The crossbow bolt buries itself in the darkspawn's side as it approaches the hill. Just going to roll for damage for him. Ooh, nice. It has taken an injury previously, and it has now taken another shot in the side. With each step it takes, there are huge gouts of blood dropping onto the dusty trail at its feet. It does not stop, but you can see it is quite badly damaged. Xavier, it is your turn.
All right, Xavier is going to keep his course going forward, and he's going to head up a little bit of an angle up towards the stairs. He's almost to the stairs. He's in the road. He's about 10 feet from the stairs. Come on.
Vari's turn.
Since we are in range for an arcane bolt, I'm going to fire off that. Arcane bolt is a TN10.
Successful cast of the spell. Did you get any doubles, Patrick?
Yes, I did. I got a 5 on the dragon die and 1 of the dice.
Awesome. So you have magical stunts to use. Ooh.
So we're going to do the 2d6, which is 9 damage for my spell stunts. I am going to immediately cast another spell. It's going to be 4 of the 5 points, and then I'm going to reduce the stunt points spent to 1 MP instead of 2.
Do you mean reduce the magic point spent, the mana point spent?
Mana point. And I'm going to cast it again. I'm going to try and fire off 2 right at it. 10 meets the
successfully do it. Any more doubles, Patrick?
Yes, double Amazing. Fours this time.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Patrick, yes, with a hot hand this evening.
So I am going to throw 3 of that onto mana shields and get a +2 defense should anybody come after me, and drop another 1 MP off. So for 2 MP, I actually deal 4 + 9 is 13 total damage to the leader.
Nice. He does have some armor, but fire from the back of the staff in rapid succession, and both bolts strike home. The magic sizzles across the battlefield, blasting the Herlock in its tracks as it races up to the bottom of the steps.
In the interest of honesty, it does get to make a TN14 dexterity acrobatics to try and lower the damage.
For each shot?
Yeah.
It did make one. It made both of them. So what does that do to the damage?
That reduces it 1d6, 1d6. So that drops off.
So I should roll a d6 for each damage reduction?
Yeah.
It does partially manage to dodge them both by making its dexterity tests. But nevertheless, it is clearly wounded and staggered. You feel like a couple of more shots like that could drop it, Vari, but it's still got fight left in it.
I'm just going to plant my feet and sort of give one of those classic come at me motions as I channel that last bit of stunt energy into defense and preparing myself for the next attack.
It jerks its head around to the side and spots you. Its eyes grow wide. There's a deep, inhuman gurgling sound from deep in its throat, but its head then jerks again to the north, and it continues to charge up the hill now towards Xavier, who has reached the bottom of the stairs. Xavier, it draws close to you, and it skids to a stop, and it raises a short bow, Xavier, and fires at you.
Oh, shit, it's got a bow?
It has a bow.
Ugh.
I don't know if this is going to actually hit you, though. This is a 12. Does a 12 hit you?
My defense is 13.
Whizzes past your ear, Xavier.
Whoa.
It pauses and then sniffs after firing and cocks its head to one side, almost like a dog studying something. And then you hear what sounds like a low gurgling laughter from its chest. And as its laughter fades away, you hear an incongruously beautiful, distant sound of music, chimes, and what sound like beautiful angelic voices singing, but at such great distance that it's impossible to make out the words.
Xavier immediately thinks this is odd, and his hand that's on his throwing knife just goes to the wound real quick and just kind of presses against it.
This time you can feel the wound flare.
Shit.
Alenka charges towards the trail and stops as she draws level about 12 yards away from the wounded Herlock, and she attempts to drop it with an arcane lance of her own. Attack. That does connect. The bolt connects with the Herlock, staggers in place, but unfortunately, it is a weak shot, and the creature's armor completely absorbs the blow. It is not damaged, and it is Fira's turn.
Fira is going to run and attempt to place herself between this Herlock leader and Xavier. I have readied my two weapons already, but I assume I will still need to activate, choosing the plus one to defense.
Awesome. So you raise both the axe and the mace in a defensive gesture ahead of yourself. As you do so, the three genlocks charge up behind their master. Each of them has a single throwing axe, and they are going to hurl them. Two are going to throw at Fira. One's actually going to throw at Alenka. Two attacks on Fira. This is a 17, Fira, to hit you. No doubles.
That will hit.
That is going to be 7 damage mitigated by your armor. Second one, 15. 10 damage mitigated by your armor. Third one is going to throw at Alenka, also hitting Alenka. This is the first time in all your trials and travails so far that someone has actually drawn blood on Alenka. She curses, her hand goes to the wound as the axe flies haft overhead and slashes at her arm, but she does not cry out in pain. She merely grits her teeth and looks grimly at the advancing darkspawn, and that is their turn. Sir Blaker uses his major action to reload his crossbow. Xavier's turn.
Xavier is going to run in front of Fira and say, "Don't block me, I'm already doomed." And he's going to move forward with his minor action right up to the leader of the enemy. And to get my backstab, I need to approach the target with a move action.
Yep.
And win an opposed dexterity versus his perception.
Okay, so if you make a dexterity test and I will make a perception test for you.
Gotcha. 9.
He did get a 20.
Oh no.
So he sees me coming.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense because you are more or less moving, you know, right towards him, and he was looking at attacking at you previously.
Right.
So he watches you approach. Curiously, he lowers the bow and arrow slightly and cranes his head forward with an expression on his face more of curiosity than rage as you approach him. So you are able to approach him, but with an attack, you would not get the backstab.
I will smile at him and say, "Bonjour, monsieur," and I will stab him with my sword. 14?
14 does hit. Do you have any doubles?
I do not.
Okay, but you did hit him with a 14.
Right, and my damage is 7.
You slash him across the arm as he struggles to switch weapons. His armor does absorb some of that, but you do see that your blade did get through. Anything else, Xavier?
That is my turn.
Bari's turn.
I'm going to try and do the same thing again. I'm going to minor action aim, major action arcane bolt, and just pour some more MP until I'm out.
Okay.
That does beat it by 1 with a double. Singular double could reduce the MP. It's going to make another dexterity acrobatics to try and reduce this 2d6 damage.
This time, it got a 9, which I think is not going to succeed.
Cool. So 10 damage total.
10 damage total. Okay. His armor does partially absorb that, but a lot of it gets through. He is on the brink of collapse, but that is not quite enough to drop.
Ah.
Anything else, Fari?
Come on, you assholes. Is that how I do that? And try and see if I can distract any of the small, weaker ones.
Xavier, the Herlock, a hideously wounded, leans past you, favoring his left leg heavily, and to your surprise, ignores you completely and fires his bow at Fira. Short bow against Fira. A 15, Fira?
Yeah, that hits.
Oh, 11 damage, Fira. He charges right past you, Xavier.
Come on.
And past Fira after shooting her. Just end runs right around Fira and it is Alenka's turn. She fires an arcane lance at the Hurlock as it reaches the bottom of the steps. She does hit him. Okay, that is enough. So she fires it into his back, and he falls against the bottom step, cracking his head on the stone. He does not rise from that position. The Hurlock is dead. Yes. Alenka uses her movement to retreat towards the steps, and it is Fira's turn.
Fabulous. Okay. I will use my movement to get into melee range of the closest Genlock to me, and I'm going to take a swipe at him with my battle axe. That would be a 17.
17 certainly hits. Any doubles?
Sadly, no.
Okay.
That'll be 10 damage.
It screeches as you slash it with the battle axe, opening up a deep wound. These three Genlocks, unlike their leader, do not look previously wounded. This one certainly is now. These three are the lesser variety of Genlocks that you fought earlier today, about this morning, actually. And it is their turn. These Genlocks move to converge on Fira.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously interested in eliminating her as an opponent before proceeding towards the steps. At the same time, you hear a child scream from the top of the rise. Wolves! Wolves! And you see a pair of blighted wolves burst from the underbrush.
No. No.
North of where the survivors have taken shelter. Hi, everybody. Tali Vieser from Cast Party here. We hope you're enjoying episode 3 of Podcast Party Dragon Age, the third of 3 miniseries we're presenting in partnership with Green Ronin Publishing. The show will be back shortly for the second part. You can check out all of these systems we've been playing, the Expanse role-playing game, Fantasy Age, and Dragon Age RPG at greenronin.com. And you can learn more about Green Ronin's 26 years of TTRPG publishing at atomicthinktank.com. The cast of Podcast Party Dragon Age includes the amazing Katie Lear as Fira. Katie is the co-founder of Young Dragon Slayers, an online community where kids and teens can play Dungeons & Dragons in a safe, inclusive, and supervised environment. Young Dragon Slayers gets to know each player as an individual, and then thoughtfully matches them with an adventuring party that fits their playstyle and interests to encourage genuine friendships and satisfying gameplay. Whether they're seasoned experts or total beginners, they help D&D-loving kids find their people. Learn more at youngdragonslayers.com. If you're a member of our Patreon at the hero level and above, you're listening to this episode 1 week earlier than the general public, and we thank you so much for your support. If you'd like early access to the podcast, as well as downloadable TTRPG content created by us, please join Cast Party's Patreon. I will include a link in the show notes. And if you really like us, you can join at the champion level like James Bowie, Robert Rocky, Jerry Corliss, and John Marku White, and get a special shout out on the show. Cast Party's professional game masters are available to hire for online games. We have games for kids as well as adults, and our DMs can run almost any of the official Dungeons & Dragons adventures, as well as other systems like Dragon Age. Details at cast-party.com. As always, we're offering monthly free adventures with our game masters. These free games fill up quickly, so if you'd like to grab a spot, you should join our email list or our Discord server. Links to both can be found at cast-party.com. Do you ever feel like you have a great visual picture in your head, but you need a little help putting it into words? Well, with a subscription to Describe, you can access thousands of descriptions of monsters, spells, locations, and more, as well as maps, music, and sound effects to enhance your games, only at Describe.com. That's DSCRYB.com. Would you like 10% off that subscription? Follow the link in the show notes and use the discount code CASTPARTY, all one word, all caps, to save 10% on your first subscription. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, leave us a review, and join us on Patreon and Discord. We'd love to hear from you. Message us on social media or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at Cast Party DND or on Blue Sky at Cast Party. Thanks very much for listening, and now back to our adventure. I am going to add these wolves into initiative. They are covered in spiky, bony growths, clearly blighted, much like the dead wolves that you saw at the rendezvous site. Just gonna roll them in. Okay, they are going to act on initiative count 17. Oh, crap. That's right now. Okay. So So the Genlocks are going to make their attacks on Fira first. All three of them hacking at you, Fira.
Love this for me.
First attack is a 12?
That does not hit.
Okay, you are able to parry that with your mace, Fira. Second attack, 13.
Is this meets it, beats it?
It is meets it, beats it, yeah.
Then that will hit, yeah.
Okay, that is 13 damage, Fira.
Cool.
And the third attack, that's definitely going to hit. Uh-huh. 10. 10 more damage, Fira.
Okay, I don't feel great. I...
Did you reduce it by your armor?
I did. Oh. So I'm at 3. So I'm up, but I'm not good.
On the top of the rise, the snarling Blight Wolves charge towards the Ferelden who is blocking the top of the stairs, using their movement and then their minor action to move again. They are both able to close with her and are howling and snapping at the single Ferelden guard at the top of those stairs. But they did need to use two minor actions to get to her, so they're not able to actually attack her this round. Sir Blaker has reloaded his crossbow. He swings around away from the darkspawn and fires at one of the wolves that is now on top of the hill. Yeah, it's definitely gonna hit. An excellent shot. One of the wolves shrieks as the bolt pierces its center of mass, seriously injuring one of the two wolves. And it is Xavier's turn.
One of these guys is wounded.
One of the Genlocks is wounded, yes. The one to the west of Fira.
Okay. So Xavier's going to run west into these little trees and come up to this wounded one and try to backstab him. So once again, I have to roll my dex versus your perception. 14.
It got a 13, so you succeed. Ooh. In slipping behind this Genlock's back.
Okay, so I get an extra plus 2 on my bonus to attack, and if I hit him, I do an extra d6 of damage. Ooh, that's gonna hit. 19?
Yeah, definitely hits.
No doubles. 13 points of damage with my short sword.
Okay, it does not see your maneuver and does not know you're there until kind of twitches at the last moment. Fear, from where you're standing, you see the point of Xavier's blade emerge from the creature's shoulder on your side.
Sick.
It screeches and looks around. This thing's now quite seriously wounded, but it's still up and is now certainly aware of Xavier, even if it wasn't before. Bari's turn.
Bari's going to fire off a standard arcane lance attack at him. That is 13 to hit with doubles on the die.
Let me just make sure 13 hits. Indeed, it does.
That is 8 damage to that one. And I've got 4 on the dragon die for stuns.
Awesome. Its armor does eat most of that, but go ahead with your dragon die.
I'm going to do 2 for an extra 1d6, and I think I am going to do 2 stunt points to skirmish myself 4 yards. That way I get some movement. That is another 4 damage, d6. Okay. Is that enough?
You can see arcane energy bursting through his armor, shrieks in pain, still up though. Horribly wounded, but still up.
These things are tough.
Okay, I am going to then use my minor action to just try to keep getting towards the stairs.
The guard who is facing off against the two wolves, well, she does have a bastard sword, so she raises that over her head and swings it down towards the wounded wolf. Yeah, certainly gonna hit. There is a yelp from the wolf as she slashes at it. It is dropped momentarily to the ground and then barely rises unsteadily to its feet. But after she swings the sword up to swing again, you can see there are still two wolves standing in front of her. It is Alenka's turn. Alenka charges up the stairs. She's going to try to fire an arcane lance at the wounded wolf with her signature strategy of trying to finish off the thing that everyone else badly would do. This time, however, her shot goes wide and does not connect with the wolf. It is Fira's turn.
Fira respectfully is getting the F out of here because there's no op attacks. So I'm running towards the stairs. Oh, there's wolves there, though, right?
There's wolves at the top. Wolves at the top of the stairs.
This sucks.
Still, get out of here. You're surrounded.
Am. Yeah.
Sounds like you're between a hurt lock and a hard place.
So true. Where was I before? I was right here.
You were
here.
Right in the middle of the guy. Yeah,
what's
yeah.
the least wolfy way I can go? Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
My autobiography. What's the least wolfy way I can go? By Tali. Okay.
When you say here, you mean at the bottom of the stairs?
At the bottom of the stairs. Okay. I'm going to stay put right here. And then as my major action, I'm going to use defend and just add another plus 2 to my defense.
It is a lonely moment for Xavier.
Sorry, but you told me to not to be the hero for you.
Three Genlocks stare at him, lean towards you a little bit, and then They seem to sniff. It's quite close to your collar, and then they break away from Xavier. One of them heading for Vari.
Run, you cowards!
He is going to be able to close with you, Vari.
All right.
But may not be able to hit you with an 11, Vari.
Nope.
Okay. And other two are going to follow Fira. They are going to have to use their major and minor action to catch up with you, Fira.
Mm-hmm.
But they do, and one of them gets ahead of you on the path and then swings around to cut you off. But they did have to use their major minor action to get there, so they're not actually able to attack you right now.
Ew.
You hear snarls of ravenous malice as the two wolves at the top of the steps bear down on the Ferelden guard. First one does hit. Oh, and it did get doubles.
Oh.
From where you are, Fira, you can see it sink its teeth into her thigh.
No.
And it is going to drag her off her feet and knock her prone. And she will also take some damage. The other one, seeing her go down, immediately seizes on her. We've got a bonus on its attack. It will also hit her. It does also get doubles. She's already prone, so it is going to lightning attack and make a second attack on her, hitting her again and doubling again.
What the hell?
So tough.
Okay, so she just went from unharmed to horribly wounded. She is prone on the ground, and both wolves are tearing and mauling at her. She's very badly wounded. Sir Blaker, major action, reloads his crossbow and falls back to the children standing near them. Xavier's turn.
Xavier hears the woman at the top of the stairs scream. He can't quite see up there, but he's just going to follow the wounded one. And he can't quite get to him. But what he can do when he gets close enough is he can throw his throwing knife, which he had in his offhand. 15?
15 does hit.
3 points of damage.
It bounces off of its armor, unfortunately.
Ah, shit. That's his turn.
From the top of the rise, you hear a boy's voice cry out, Sir Bridget, help her, help her. From where you're standing, Fira, you can see the kid. It's about a 13-year-old kid. He reaches to his side. He has a short sword in a sheath and he draws it. But Sir Blaker, a burly Ferelden noble in battered leather armor, just kind of mom arms him and like prevents him from advancing towards the wolves as he reloads his crossbow. By the way the kid moved, you can see he's had at least some training in how to hold and use that sword, but you doubt he's seen real combat, though.
Yeah, the sweet summer child. Okay.
His sister stares silently towards the wolves and then bows her head and closes her eyes. You can see her lips are moving, but you can't hear anything that she's saying. Vari, it is your turn.
I'm going to press it up against this thing, and with the tip of my staff, I'm going to try and throw another arcane bolt just like off his face. Do I get the 4 magic casting to beat the TN?
Yeah.
Yeah, then I beat it. 12, beat a TN 10.
Any doubles?
And it is doubles, yes.
Nice.
I'm going to reduce it by 1 so that it is only 1 magic point, and then I am going to fire up 2d6 plus the 2. That is 11 damage to this guy right in front of me.
Okay, does he need to make a dexterity test?
He does. It's a 14.
You got a 13.
So he failed.
So he did take 11 damage.
Perfect. And actually, with the spell stunts, it's going to be 0 MP.
Nice. This one has not been previously wounded, but the spell just explodes in its face. It clutches at his face and eyes as smoke pours from the arcane wounds. Wounded, but it's still there in front of you, Bart.
I'm going to also just start moving away while it's sort of blinded in the face.
The Ferelden guard, whom the boy called Sir Bridget, staggers very unsteadily to her feet. That she's going to use her minor action to get up off the ground. Bleeding from many wounds, she raises the bastard sword over her head, and she's going to try to cut down that wounded wolf. That is going to hit. Yes, with a slash, she slices that blighted wolf's head off.
Nice.
And it is Alenka's turn. She looks indecisively between the wolves and the genlocks that are swarming Fira. She turns back around and fires an arcane lance towards the wounded genlock that is above Fira on the staircase, a little closer to Alenka, and she hits it. But its armor completely absorbs the shot.
Sucks.
She curses, and she moves up the stairs and tries to get closer to the kids. It is Fira's turn.
If I'm looking at the stairs correctly, could I kind of mosey up the stairs around the genlock?
It is not able at this point, at the lower stairs, it's not able to completely block the stairs. You could slip around it.
I love this for me. That is what I'm going to do.
And you're going to mosey.
I'm going to mosey with haste. I'm going to, so what I'm actually going to do is take a swipe at this dude with my axe as I'm running up these stairs. So I'm running up past this guy, swinging the axe as I go, hoping that I can get a good hit in before I get out of this hellhole. That's a 19 to hit.
Yeah, definitely hits.
12 points of damage.
Definitely going to kill him. Would you like to describe how you dispatch him as you pass him on the stairs?
I want to swing this axe right into his guts, just as I'm coming by on the stairs, right sideswipe this dude. And I hope that there's entrails. Like, I'd love for there to be
There certainly are visible guts that spill out. He reaches up to kind of try to grab your braid as you pass him on the stairs. But before he can get close enough to do that, you just swing and open his stomach.
He
vomits forth intestines onto the staircase and collapses dead at your feet.
Wow.
And you've got movement left, so you can continue to move past him if you want.
Nastier than I could have ever dreamed. Great.
Okay, so Vari, the one you broke away from is going to try to follow you, and he is able to close the distance and make an attack. It's not get you, right? Okay, the wolf lunges at the surviving Ferelden guard. Does bite her. She's got 2 hit points left. She screams as it sinks its teeth into her arm, her sword arm, attempting to drag her down. Did not get doubles. She's barely up with 2 hit points, but that's not enough to finish her.
Oof.
Sir Blaker fires his crossbow at it. Oof, missing. Xavier's turn.
Xavier's standing next to one of these dudes, so he's just going to pretend like he's running towards the stairs and then make a quick jump back off the stairs and come at it, trying to get sneak attack.
Got it.
So you do perception.
Yep.
God, I'm rolling like crap today. 12.
It got a 13.
Ugh.
So it does notice you slipping around behind it.
All right, I'm not as sneaky as I thought I was, but I'll take a shot at it anyway with my short sword. 16?
Yep, 16 does hit.
And it takes 9 points of damage.
Its armor does absorb some of that, but you do cut through. Anything else, too?
That is my turn, though I will stand there like a dummy. He's going to run around me on his turn. I know it. Okay.
Joseph Neruda, the boy, this time does break away from Sir Blaker and charge towards the wolf, winging with his short sword. He might actually hit it. He does hit it.
Kids are quick.
Yeah. He stabs the wolf. Ooh, there is a yip from the wolf as he stabs at it, and it turns its slavering jaws to stare at him. And the girl cries, "Joseph, no!" And her eyes open. Fira, you can see no visible pupils or irises. There is blue-white light pouring from her eyes, and she raises both of her hands, and the air in front of her seems to wobble and vibrate as she unleashes a spell towards the wolf.
This is the specialness.
Mic test. 11, and it needs a 12. No. The mystic forces moving through the air seem to center on the wolf. It is lifted completely off the ground for a moment and then comes crashing down to the earth. It appears stunned. It is prone. It did not actually take any damage, but it is momentarily unconscious and cannot take a major action during its next turn. Immediately after doing that, her eyes return to normal. She collapses to her knees and then flops forward in the grass at the top of the knoll, not moving. It is Vari's turn.
Would I have recognized the nature of that particular spell, or can I not see anything?
Why don't you go ahead and make a cunning, and if you got to focus in Arcana.
I do.
Go ahead.
3, 6, 9 total.
Clearly, she is someone born with a connection to the Fade.
Yeah.
That was certainly a magical spell of some kind. She is not in a circle. At her age, she should be in one already.
Got it.
But you're not able to specifically identify the spell. What you do see is, probably due to her lack of training, the effort of casting that spell has caused her to faint.
Got it. Can I hit the wolf? I know that sort of this stairs is a straight line, but ascending. Would I be able to hit the wolf from there?
Yes. I'm just going to give you a -1 for the elevation, if you're making something that involves an attack.
I don't want this thing killing the kids or the guard. Let's fire off another arcane bolt. That does beat the 10 with doubles and reduces 1 MP.
Nice.
So that is going to be 2d6. Can it even make the dexterity acrobatics while it's stunned?
Yeah, unfortunately, all it means is it can't take a major action. Did make this roll.
8 and 2 is 10 total damage.
But I subtract a d6?
If he passes, he's
did. Subtract. Yeah, I did pass.
Okay.
So that's going to reduce it to 6 damage, but some damage is still going to get through.
Great. That is my turn.
It is Sir Bridget's turn. She swings at the stunned wolf. That's certainly going to connect. Okay, yeah, she hacks powerfully at it as it begins to stir and try to recover itself from its prone position. It's badly wounded, but she's not able to finish it. It is Alenka's turn. So she's going to fire down at the one that is next to Vari. Yes, barely hitting it. Did get double ones. Okay, Vari, she blasts the one standing next to you.
Yep.
Its armor partially, but not completely absorbs the shot. She's going to spend her stun point to skirmish it. The force of her shot knocks it back 2 yards away from you. Fear, it is your turn.
Great. I am going to use my major action again to defend. And then I would like to aim. I'm debating if I want to aim for this wolf or aim for this Genlock. I presume the Genlock will be coming up the stairs. And so I think what I would like to do is plan on my next turn that I will be aiming at this guy, trying to get a good vantage point at him as he comes up the stairs. Is that plausible?
You can take the aim action now, and then on your next attack, you'll get that bonus. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough. Defend and aim.
You set yourself at the top of stairs and wait for the approach of the Genlock. The Genlock does indeed duck right around Xavier.
I figured.
It does not quite have enough movement to get all the way to you, Fira. So it will use its minor action to close with you and Alenka, but it cannot attack this time.
Okay.
Okay, the wolf shakes off the stun effect, uses its minor action to rise unsteadily to its feet, but it does not get to make an attack this turn because it was stunned by the magic. And Sir Blaker, seeing the Genlock pop up from the staircase and get right next to Alenka and Fira, he throws the crossbow to the ground and he instead pulls out a Morning Star, swinging it over his head, and he charges towards the Genlock. So that is his 2 double minor actions. He's got his Morning Star out and he moves up to join the fray. It is Xavier's turn.
Xavier is going to follow that Genlock right up the stairs, right up behind him. And once again, I'm going to try sneak attack. Perception for this guy as I try to sneak up behind him. 10.
It got a 10.
What happens on a tie?
Its tie is resolved by the dragon die. What's on your dragon die, Andy?
Oh, 2.
Okay, well, it had a 1.
Oh!
So you do get the sneak attack.
All right. So I will try to poke him with my short sword. 16 to hit.
Yes, 16 does hit.
And I did get doubles.
Awesome. And you do get the backstab.
I have 1 stun point. Gonna move myself around to the other side of him since I can do that. And then let me do the damage. Ooh, 14 points of damage.
Oh dear, okay. You slip around behind him. He does not hear you or notice you on the steps. And you are slashing at his back. He gurgles, he staggers, horribly wounded, but he is not down. 1 more shot is probably gonna drop him, but this is not that shot. Brave little Joseph Neruda is gonna try to stab this wolf again. Let's see what happens. Can he go to the well a second time? He can.
Yes.
I like this kid.
Yep, he stabs the wounded wolf, not quite finishing it, but does cut into it. His sister Hannah is unconscious. It is Vari's turn.
All right, Vari's going to try and fire off at the wolf again because the mission comes first. Not going to use my aim just yet. I might need to move. But that is going to be 12 and 4, 16 to hit.
Yes, it does.
No doubles, 12 total damage to this guy.
Okay, would you like to describe how you kill that wolf?
So that is also my last 2 MP. So I think what he's going to do is he is going to stride forward. We'll say the minor action stepping is as he comes up the steps, his eyes glowing as well. He is inspired by this kid just trying so damn hard. He grits his teeth and just with the amount of energy left, expending energy from the fade, is going to start crackling white lightning from his hands and his fingertips as it begins to run up his staff to where the crystal would normally sit. And it forms into this raw ball of energy. And as he just stabs it forward like a lance, the energy pours out and just sort of envelops this wolf in a beam of energy and says, "Don't touch the children." The reverberating sort of energy off of him as he grunts that last word echoes almost like a thaumaturgy spell in 5e as he strides forward and is just not happy. Like, he understands that there's money on the line for the mercenaries. But for him, there's knowing that this kid is powerful and her brother is that brave. He's trying to find some positives in it as he strides forward.
The smoking body of the wolf drops to the ground between Joseph and Sir Bridget. She turns, nods thankfully at you with a look of exhaustion on her face, and then staggers up next to Xavier and swings at the Genlock with her bastard sword.
Damn, she's brave.
Yeah.
That is gonna hit. And she beheads the Genlock. And it collapses, and Fira, she is now looking across at you over its body. Can see blood running from a gash in her forehead, her hair falling over her eyes. Point of the sword buries itself in the earth as she leans heavily on it to keep herself on her feet. It is Alenka's turn. She fires an arcane lance towards the last Genlock that is still at the bottom of the stairs. That's not going to hit it. Fira, it is your turn.
I can't do a whole lot about that Genlock at the moment. Minor action ready, major action attempt to bandage up this poor woman who just saved my life from this Genlock.
Yeah, here's the annoying thing. You're not quite next to her.
Oh, sucks. Okay.
So you got a minor action, ready the bandages, and then minor action, move next to her. And then on your next turn, you would be in position to heal her.
That is what I will do. Okay. Yeah.
The last Genlock charges up behind Vari. Let's see if it can reach Vari. Can reach Vari. Slashes at your back, Vari. 15. No doubles. 13 damage.
Ooh. Ouch.
Okay. Standing. Not great.
Oh, no.
Okay, Sir Blaker charges forward with his Morningstar, pushing past Vari, takes a swing at the creature. Ooh, doubles, and that is going to hit for 3 points. He is going to use Pierce Armor to cut its armor rating in half.
Ooh.
Rolled real shitty, though. He swings, he slashes it across the chest as it charges up. It's still coming, though. Wounded, but still coming. Xavier's turn.
The stairs are very crowded right now. Mm-hmm. Can I actually get to that thing?
You cannot close with it. There's no room for you to melee with it from where you currently are. You'd have to be standing either where Vari is or where Blaker is.
Right. So I will use my major action to load my crossbow.
Okay.
And minor action, I'm going to go behind them on the stairs just to make more of a blocker.
Joseph runs back to his sister and cradles her head in his hands and says, Hannah, wake up. She moans faintly. It is Vari's turn.
Vari is going to try and spin around then with the quarterstaff and hit this guy. 18 to hit.
Yep.
1d6 plus 4 and 5 on the dragon die.
Nice.
Nice.
All right, that is 8 damage to it. And on the standard stunts, I'm going to use 2, 2, and 1. I'm going to Mighty Blow it for 2 extra d6.
Okay.
And then the last is moving it 2 yards back for the last SP.
Good idea.
The only one standing.
Yep.
So that is another 11 damage.
That is going to kill it, Vari. Do you want to describe how you kill it?
So yes, as the quarterstaff spins around and just faintest wisps, after the last couple attacks and the first couple against the Herlock, he has burned all of his MP. He sort of staggers forward with this gash in his back, and you see like the energy almost sizzling off the wound as he's expending some of his own life to try and cast this last hit. And you see his eyes glow that same sort of color as our young mage apprentice potentially here. And as the air sort of sizzles, he just fires off everything that's left in a much more reckless, non-controlled blast at point-blank range.
It topples all the way back down the stairs and lands in a heap at the bottom. Dust is cleared. Darkspawn are dead. Bandage your wounds. You can breathe. And hopefully you can leave this awful place. But Xavier, you feel another chill rattle through you. You shudder uncontrollably. And that music, the beautiful, gorgeous music coming from you're unable to say where, gets very slightly louder. Thanks for listening. This episode was game mastered by me, Tali Aviazer, with Andy Canistra as Xavier, Katie Lear of Young Dragonslayers as Fira, and Patrick Marin as Vari. This episode was edited by me, Tali Aviazer, and Carolyn Fox. Big shout out to Monument Studios and to freesound.org for sounds and music you're hearing on these shows. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with episode 4, the finale of Podcast Party Dragon Age.